Father, we love you.
Father,
we love you so much. Holy Spirit, we love you. We ask you to come and just hover over this place. Fill us and fill this room. Help us to really dig into your word and have hearts postured in worship towards you. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this theme this year is what? The theme this year for Sozo is what? Grow up. Yes. Grow up. We all have to grow up. It's natural. It's right. It's good. To remain a baby your whole life is unnatural. I've known Harper since she was a baby. And if she remained a baby, that would be unusual. You would know there was something wrong. Yes, it would be unnatural. She's now a little girl. This year, she'll be a bigger girl like Marley. And one day, Lord willing, she will be grown. And that is good. And that is natural. Our Christian life must be the same way. Everybody starts as a baby. And that's good. Everybody has to start at the beginning. You don't remain there. It would be unnatural. If you saw someone who was still a baby, and they had been living that Christian life for 10 years, for 20 years, and they're still a baby, we know there's something wrong. And I know that we are all on our walk with Christ. And so I want to speak to you and encourage you that we're always growing. We grow from a baby to a toddler, like little Ruth. You see her walking around and she's little. And then she gets bigger like Faith. And like Harper. Our life in Christ should be the same way. We should start as a baby. We should be growing and growing until we are mature people. Until we are mature people in Christ. And we're going to look at a few passages tonight. But I want to start in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter
3.
Colossians chapter
3.
It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen.
Amen.
I love those verses. It speaks directly to us as a believer. It says you have been raised with who? With Christ.
In Christ.
What is our theme? Grow up. Grow up in Christ. We know the verse is Ephesians 4:15.
Kwamale chawa ndipashi mbefeso zinegu minatano.
And we can read it here.
Nyapashomani nando.
It says we are to grow up in every way.
Chilomachikulimikukulakulisikilisosi.
Into him.
Kulekuye.
Who is the head.
Ulikutwe.
Into Christ.
O Kristo.
Amen.
Amina.
This is not a suggestion.
Chinokubalikutesa.
This is something we must do.
Chinochikulimitekapulikukuchikola.
Something we are supposed to do.
Chinochikulimitekapukola.
Just like a baby grows into eventually an adult.
Yesu mwana tani ka akula papa mkutu mkulu.
We as believers.
Nafenga wanu babu.
Must grow into maturity.
Kwa watu wangu wanu babu.
And especially as leaders.
Ukurelela mbawara mkirisi.
How can we expect to disciple someone?
Usubira kurina kule kero mkutu mkute.
We ourselves are not mature.
Kekubabe ne kushiri mkutu watawe.
So I want to encourage you today.
Arikuma kupiri saruna mkashalelo.
To think about what this verse says.
Siambasa mkutu 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 mk
where Christ is
Cristo ali,
seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you die, and your life is now hidden with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. As I was reading these verses, I'm reminded of what Christ tells us to do. That we are supposed to deny ourselves. To pick up our cross. And to follow Him daily. Each of us is to do that. It doesn't matter if you are a brand new Christian. Or you have been in the ministry for 40 years. You are called daily. Die to yourself. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Take up your cross. And follow Him. You will never reach a point where that is not supposed to be a part of your day. And I know that seems very difficult sometimes. But Christ is our perfect model. We are to grow into Him. We are to grow up into Him. I love the story that Apostle Scott shared. About his pastor that was slashing the grass. And the son was right behind him. Doing exactly everything that he did. But you know, I have the honor to be close with the Ingrams. And I get to see them almost every day. And I am so blessed for that. They are my family. And I love them so much. And I have to tell you, they model Christ for their children. And you see that sweetheart in Harper and in Marley and in Liam. It's the heart of Father God that is modeled by their parents.
Yes.
We as leaders are very much like parents sometimes. And I know that some of us did not have good parents. Some of us might have had absent parents. Some of us might not have known our father. We might have felt abandoned by our parents. But I want to tell you something. You have a good, good father. And maybe on this earth, you don't have a good example of a parent. But Father God is your example. Father God is your example. He is a good, good father. And he loves you so much. He loves you like a father. I'm thankful that I had a very good dad. A very good dad. And he loved Jesus. And he modeled Christ well. But even if I didn't have him, I would still have Father God. And he is perfect. And just like my earthly father, he expected me to grow up. And as I grew, I want you to know I grew up like on a farm. And we had many animals. Like horses and cattle. Goats and chickens. And I know that most of us have those somewhere. We have chickens and goats and
what?
And for me and my brother, even from a young age, we had responsibilities. We had responsibilities to take care of the animals. It was my job to make sure they had water and they had food. And even when I was young, that was still my responsibility. And as I got older, my parents gave me more responsibility. Until, because they loved me, and they wanted me to be a mature person who understood responsibility, who understood what it meant to be an adult. Father God loves you that way. He loves you enough to call you out of being just a baby. And he's calling you to grow up. He's calling you to mature in him, to have a more intimate relationship with him. Today I told my students something. I told them that my parents were my best friends. And you should have seen their faces. They said, "Hey, your best friend. Your mom, your dad, your best friend." And to them that sounded strange. Because they're still young. They don't know what a beautiful thing it is to have a mature relationship with their parents. It's the same with Father God. When we're young, we have that beautiful faith of a child. But he wants you to grow in that faith. He wants you to mature in that faith. He wants you to become a mature person in Christ. And then, eventually, you become a parent. A spiritual parent. You lead someone to Christ. And then you help them to mature in Christ. Who then does the same thing. We don't need to invent something new. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our model. We look to Jesus. We fix our minds on him. We look to him. And we follow him. Just like Leon wants to be just like his daddy. Even sometimes he draws on his face to have that big beard. He wants to look like his father. We should want to look like our father. A relationship with him. A close relationship with him will automatically make us look like him. If Leon only saw Scott once a month, he wouldn't know him very well. He wouldn't love him so much. And Scott wouldn't be able to love him like a father. We shouldn't just visit the Lord once in a while. We need to spend time with him daily. And not just to check it off our list. I read my Bible today. Check. I listen to worship music. Check. I said a prayer. Check. I said a prayer. Now I'm fine, I can move on. He doesn't want you to run away from him. I was listening to someone recently. And they were talking about when Jesus says to go into your room and shut the door. And spend time with the Lord. Go into your prayer closet. And they made a point that in Jesus' day, there might have only been one room that had a door. And it was the storeroom. And that really hit me. The Bible tells us don't store up things here, but store up the things of heaven in heaven. We should be more concerned with things of heaven than the things of earth. Are we storing up those things in our hearts? Are we seeking after that quiet time with him? True time spent with him. I know that you can get very busy. Apostle Scott shared that I have a busy life here. I teach. I teach all day, every day. I teach 3 different classes. And for us, we teach all of the subjects. So I teach, you know, English and maths and science and history. So it takes a lot of my time to prepare those lessons. And so sometimes I can feel too busy for quality time with the Father. And I know that you have busy lives. I know that you have many responsibilities. But don't forsake the quiet time with the Father. Without spending time with him, how can we look like him? If we don't spend time with him, how can we look like him? How can we know his voice? How can we be sensitive to Holy Spirit? If we don't spend time with him, I want to encourage you. Father God loves you. And he is challenging you today. He is challenging you this week. You're not here to be scolded, but you're here to be challenged and encouraged for more. You are being challenged and encouraged to grow in the Lord. And that is out of love. It might be tough. Sometimes things are hard to hear. But they're important for growth. Are you hearing me? The hard things to hear are important for growth. If we're not growing, we're dying. If we're not growing, we're dying. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep growing into Christ. I don't want to become stagnant. I don't want to become lukewarm. I want to be hot for Christ. I don't want to be cold, and I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want you to be on fire for the Lord. People that are on fire for Christ, who are world changers for Christ. People who are on fire for Christ are world changers for Christ. Are you hungry for Him? Are you hungry for His presence? Are you hungry to know Him? I want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And many know this story as the prodigal son. But for me, I like to think of it in a different way. I like to think of it as a story of the father's heart and two sons. And so we're going to read it, chapter 15 of Luke. And it starts in verse 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen. He sent him to his fields to feed pigs. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So I want to pause there. I want to stop there for a minute. And I want to really think about what is happening. We know this story. I imagine you have preached even on this story. And we know that the father's heart was broken. This son asked him for all of his portion of the estate. Some say he was saying, almost like, I wish you were dead, just give me the money. Can you imagine? And at this time, the father could have easily cut him off and said, now I have no more younger son. But we don't see the father do that. The father collects the things, gives it to the son. And the son leaves. And he spends it on wild living. Doing everything the world has to offer. Anything you can imagine, I imagine he did. Until there was nothing left. And he even had to become a servant of someone. And he was starving. And he had to care for pigs who were considered unclean. And he was in such a bad place. It says that he even thought he wanted to eat the pig food. Those leftover things they give to them. And then he thought to himself, My father, his servants live better than this. And he recognized he had sinned against his father. He recognized that he had done wrong to his father. And he said, you know, I have sinned against heaven, I've sinned against my father. I'm going to go back and ask to be his servant. And so he set off. And you know, at this time, it was very much like here, where grown people don't run so much. I mean, maybe we'll walk quickly. But mature people don't run, yes? Mature people don't run. I see people going, and even in traffic. Mature people don't run. And they will just go and pray the bus does not knock them. But they don't run. It was very much that same way. But we see something special here. We see that while that son was still very far away, his father was. His father saw him. You know what that tells me? That tells me his dad was looking for him. And I imagine that father must have looked on the horizon every day, hoping that his son was coming. He wasn't sitting there in anger. With the father's heart, he knew his son had done wrong. And he wanted his son to turn from that wrong thing and to come back to him. And when he saw his son, he didn't in pride say, that one can come to me. And maybe I will go out and talk to him tomorrow. And he can just wait. It would have been easy to do that. But instead, what does the father do? He sees his son and he runs to him. This is a mature man. And he runs to his son. Running like a child, I imagine. As fast as he could. And he runs to him. And he hugs him. And he kisses him. And the first thing the son says,
is I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you.
I know I'm not worthy to be called your son. So let me come home. And I'll be your servant. And what does the father say? And he says, sure, you can be my servant. No. What does he say? He says, quickly, bring a good robe. He takes his ring and he puts it on him. He puts sandals on him. And he reestablishes him as his son. That is the father's heart for us. I want to tell you
that even as a believer,
sometimes we're like this prodigal son. And we've walked in sin. And we have maybe been walking in sin so long. We think there's no way that we can turn away. Because sometimes we can be very concerned with what others think. If we acknowledge that sin,
what might Liz think of me?
Maybe I should just keep hiding it. Maybe I should just keep acting like everything is good. Like everything is okay. And I should keep that sin hidden inside. I want to tell you that your brothers and sisters in Christ, they should encourage you to turn away from that sin. I know that if I went to Liz right now and I told her, you know, I'm really struggling with this, she wouldn't turn me away. She wouldn't say, you're such a sinner. I can't be seen around you. People will think I'm like you. I can't be with you. And then leave me just there. That's my sister. She's my sister in Christ. And you know what she would do? She would say, I love you. You need to repent from that sin. You need to turn away. And you need to turn back to God. Because he is looking for you. And he is waiting for you. He wants you to come back. So I want to encourage you that even if you are in a position of leadership, if there is some unconfessed sin in your life, if there is some hidden sin there, turn away from it. You are not going to be effective in the ministry if you are allowing hidden sin. How can we disciple someone else if we ourselves are not behaving like mature people? So I want you to know that Father God is waiting for you. And I don't want you to feel shame. Shame is not from God. A call to conviction and repentance is from the Lord. But shame is not. It's different. So if Holy Spirit is convicting you, don't let it sit there any longer. Even right now, in your seat, repent of that thing and turn back to God. He is looking for you. He is waiting for you. He's right behind you. He's just standing there like this. And he's not going to say, Sarah, I don't have any more forgiveness for you. You've done this too many times. And that's it. You've reached your limit of grace. That's not what he says. I come to him and I say, I know that I have sinned against you. And I know that you have forgiven me. And my identity is not sinner. My identity is rooted in Christ. And when you look at me, I am covered in the righteousness of Christ. And I want that again. And I want that. And he does that for us. It's so beautiful. But we're going to continue. So we're in verse 25. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fat calf because he has come back safe. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. It never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. Amen. I'm so thankful to be found by the Lord. Every time I read this, I recognize that I was once lost and I am now found. And let us never forget that miracle. Because make no mistake, salvation is a miracle. It is a miracle given to us by God. Praise Jesus for what he's done. And it is a miracle. But here we see the second son. And I want to tell you that when I was young, I really connected with the second son. I have a brother, and he's younger than I am. And let me tell you, that man was wild. So wild. Just like this. And since he was young, he's been wild. Wild living, drugs, alcohol,
and what are they?
All of these things.
And I will say that I am very much the faithful child. To my parents, I am very much the steady, faithful one. And so I used to really connect with this second son. And now I connect with both of them. As I matured in Christ, the Lord has revealed to me deeper meanings here. And so I want to encourage you, always continue reading God's Word. It is alive and active. And the Holy Spirit always brings new revelation to you. And you might read the same passage 100 times. And 100 times the Holy Spirit can bring something new. God's Word is so powerful. And I think that sometimes I have this idea that this story was only about the prodigal son. It was only about the son who went away and who lived that wild life. And because everybody calls it the story of the prodigal son, but I want to talk about the second son for a minute. When Jesus was telling this story, he was speaking to Pharisees. He was speaking to people who were God's people and were very proud to be God's chosen people. And they were very proud to know the Word and to check off all of these things they were supposed to do. And so some of the meaning here is for the Jews and the Gentiles. And us as Gentiles, we can be considered the ones who are lost and not found. But also this second son, he also brought hurt to the father. Both of these sons dishonored their father. You see, when the son gets angry, he refuses to go inside. And his father, who seriously loves his children, he doesn't just leave them outside. He does what? He goes out to him. He sees that his sons are different, but he loves them both. And sometimes, we as believers, and especially as leaders, can become very proud. And we feel like we have somehow earned something more from God. But I want to tell you something. There is nothing you could do or not do that will change the way God loves you. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing you could do or not do that changes how much God loves you. Now we know that sin separates us from Him. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't love us. Right? It's not the amount of work that you do that will make Him love you. He already loves you. He already loves you forever. Are you hearing me? There's not an amount of work you could do that would make Him love you more. He desires a relationship with you. Not your work. He desires a relationship with you. And not your work. And I want to tell you that fruit will be produced out of the relationship. When you have a deep and abiding relationship with the Lord, fruit fruit will automatically be produced. When you are abiding in Him, and He in you, you will produce His fruit. Not because you are trying to earn it, but simply because when you are spending time with Him, you look like Him. And Holy Spirit does the work
too. You
are called to spend time with Him. We talked about the Father's heart. And we see that the Father treats these sons a bit differently. But He loves them both. And so sometimes we struggle with defiance. And sometimes we struggle with pride. But I want to encourage you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. How will we mature into Christ-like people? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. So sometimes it can seem overwhelming. It seems like an impossible task. But you're not supposed to do it alone. To produce this kind of fruit in your life, to become a mature person in Christ, you have to have the Father's help. You have to be Holy Spirit led. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't be living in pride. And you can't be living in defiance. You need to be Holy Spirit filled and led. We hear what the Holy Spirit says, and then we get busy doing it. And my calling is different than your calling. What I am called to do is different than what you are called to do. My giftings are different than Medina's giftings. Medina's giftings are different than mine. But I want to tell you, as I was reading this, the Lord put something in my mind that I think I'm supposed to share with you. I want you to really hear me. I want you to look at me. I want you to make eye contact. I'm a teacher. I want to see you listening. I want to see you. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy. This son became angry. Why? Because he was comparing himself to his brother. And he says, well, look at that one. He did this and this and this. And look at me, I'm so deserving. I've always done the right thing. I always have walked on the right path. But his heart was hardened. That pride had hardened his heart. Don't let pride harden your heart. Be humble as Christ is humble. If anybody could have been proud, it was Jesus Christ. He was God in living flesh. He had all the power and all the ability. And he could have just said, worship me. And they would have had to. He said, I am, when they came to take him to crucifixion. And when he said, I am, what happened? Everybody did what?
I'm going to fill now, yes?
That's the kind of power he had. But you didn't see Jesus being born in a castle and being born a king and having all of these worldly things. He was born in a lowly manger in a poor family and lived a poor life. He worked hard. He was a carpenter. He worked with his hands every day. And then he went around serving others. He who gave up the glory of heaven and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. He is our model. So if Christ could be humble, I think you and I could be humble. Yes. So whether we are living in that defiance or living in that pride, I want to encourage you. Set those things aside. Because they will stunt your growth. They will keep you immature. They will keep you from growing in Him. Father God loves you. And He is calling you to more. Just like my Father gave me more responsibility, God is charging you with more responsibility. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants to produce His fruit in your life. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? The choice is yours. You can continue on the path you're on. Or you can really look at your heart. And you can really take time in that quiet place.
Why that we said, which is what you changes?
And said, God, reveal to me what's keeping me from maturing. God, help me to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. God, help me to cast aside the sin that so easily entangles, and to run the race that is set before me. Your race is different than my race.
When we see that John,
and what God has called you to is different than what He's calling me to. But He's calling all of us to grow up. He's calling all of us to mature. All of us to mature. I share this with you. Studying this was a conviction for me. Because sometimes, like I said, it's very easy to get busy. And I have really had to repent. Because I have not been as faithful as I could be with
time.
And I can tell there's a difference when I spend time with the Lord, when I spend time with the Holy Spirit, I look more like Him. And the more time you spend with Him, the more you will look like Him. So I want to encourage you. Don't be afraid to grow up. Don't be afraid to mature in Christ. God has big things. God wants to do big things. But He's waiting for our mature people to do it. You can't do it when you're a baby. Ruth can't do the things
Nadine can do. Yes, Ruth cannot do the things Madina can do. Harper cannot do the things that Liz can do. Why? Because they're children. They're not mature. They're not ready. They're not prepared. God has things for you, but you are not ready. You are not prepared because you are not spending the time with Him that you need to. You are not letting Him cut those things out of your life. You're standing there and saying, I'm fine. I'm going to do this. Instead of saying, God, what are you doing? And let me join you. Don't say, God, I'm planning to do this. Come and join me.
Yes.
No. You should ask God what He is doing. And join Him. Become a mature person. And if you are a mature person in Christ, go deeper. Go farther. Go farther into the intimacy. Spend time with Him. Don't forsake that quiet place. Become ready for what He's calling you to. Prepare yourself. Be ready. I want to encourage you. God is waiting. And He is already doing big things. And I'm telling you, He's doing something big. And I believe that He is moving in Sozo. I can see it. And I believe that He is calling you to something greater. And I want to encourage you. Believe Him. Grow up to look like your Father. Look like your Father. Because the DNA of God is in you. And so you should automatically begin to look like Him. Liam looks like who? Scott. Yes?
Scott.
Liam looks like Apostle Scott. There's no denying that one. He for sure looks just like his father. We should have that same kind of look to us. We should look like our father. When you look at your heart, when others look at you, do they see a reflection of Jesus? And if they don't, you ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you.
So
what is keeping you from looking like Him? And have the courage to turn away from it. Have the courage to do something different. Have the courage to step out in faith. And believe that the God who promised is faithful. Because He is faithful. And He loves you. And He is calling you out. He is calling you up. Will you listen to the call? Will you listen to His call? Let us grow up in Him. Let us become like Christ. Let us fix our mind on Him. On His beautiful face. There's a song that I love. And it says that as I look at the face of Christ, everything else grows dim. And it kind of loses importance. Because I'm looking in the face of Christ. And that should be our heart. So look at His face. And become like
Him.
Allow Holy Spirit
to
do His work in our life. To become like Him. Our heart's desire should to be to look like our Father. I'd like to pray for you. If you stand. Father God, we love you.
Mama, hatunakukubana.
Jesus, we love you.
Yesu, kukubana.
Holy Spirit, we love you.
Moyo, kukubana.
Thank you for your word.
Wanyana, reche, mochowo.
Thank you for your beautiful heart for us. In spite of our failures, and you have given us the ability to be your children, to look like you. God, I pray for every single person who is here that they will just hunger and thirst after you. That they will become a people on fire for you. And they will look like their Father. And they will be hungry for the things of God. And they will be hungry for Holy Spirit in their life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come to fill us, to convict us, to bring us back to the Father. Oh, we love you. God, I pray your blessing over these leaders. That you would turn your face to them. That you would bless them. That you would shine your countenance upon them. And that they would just become vessels of you. That they would become mouthpieces of you. That their feet would carry the gospel of peace. That they would be atmosphere changers for you. That people would see them and say, ah, there's something different with this one. And then they would just point them back to you. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Bless them, God. Bring them closer to you. Help them to have courage. To set aside the things that are keeping them from you. Equip them and enable them to be strong leaders for you. God, I ask you to bless them greatly.
I
ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.